Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And I am Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together from time to time, and we talk about our faith, we talk about our faith journey, and we talk about Scripture. And both of us are glad that you're here. Today's topic is Isaiah 30, 20 and 21.
And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see the teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left.
Wow. So here we have another scripture that's sort of two parts. Last week we talked about the bread of anxious toil, and there were two parts to that, weren't there?
Yes, there was.
And this week we have also, there's two parts to this. And we'll start with the first part, and that is, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, holy cow, the Lord is giving us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. I don't want it.
I don't think any of us want it, but this is what comes into our lives as Christians and really as people who aren't Christians. You are going to face adversity in your life. It's just a matter of how you deal with it. And unlike what we were talking about last time, this is not the bread of anxious toil. I see the bread of anxious toil, and I think we discussed this, as things we bring about ourselves, we bring into our own lives. The way I see this, the Lord giving you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, these are things that come into your life that may not necessarily be of your own doing, but works into God's plan to have you go through these things. So do you suppose he's talking about actual bread and water here, Jeff?
I don't think so. Anything's possible, of course, and I don't fully understand scriptures, but I would say not. And I would say this is a pretty good time to be talking about the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, because you and I are in a lockdown, I think, and we've got this pandemic going on, and things are not just bad, they're double bad.
They are.
And people are depressed and they're saddened and they can't believe that as we approach Thanksgiving that they won't be able to have Thanksgiving with their family according to government edicts. And so here we are. We have this. Now, we didn't cause this, right? Did you cause this?
I did not.
I did not either. But no. But we're certainly affected by it.
Well, the whole country is affected by it, and especially the various states to one degree or another. Everyone is affected by various lockdowns. So this would be one of those situations that we have to persevere in. Although when you take a look at situations in the rest of the world, maybe not quite as serious as some other adversity or afflictions that people go through and have gone through in the past.
Yeah, now we have first world problems, right?
This would be a first world problem, yes.
Yeah, because I think of my friends in Africa, and you know, the stuff that they endure on a daily basis doesn't even compare to this. It's a much different life, but we've grown into an easy life, and this is, I'm not making light of the pandemic. It is a big deal, and it deserves the kinds of serious changes of performance and changes of the things we do in order to get over it. But this is something that comes with life. It comes with adversity.
It does. And the more adversity one has in their life, and adversity and affliction can actually lead you to be closer to the Lord. A story that comes to mind about this is the story of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. For those who aren't real familiar, and I wasn't super familiar before this week, had heard his name before and sort of remembered his story, but heard his story once again, and I thought, you know, this fits right into what we're talking about. So Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Soviet citizen, and he was an officer in the Soviet Red Army in World War II, a loyal party member, somebody who would have been for many years a quote-unquote, you know, good citizen of the Soviet Union. At some point, he started to be maybe questioning of communism and socialism in general, and he wrote a letter to a friend which had one sentence, get this, one sentence of criticism in a private letter to a person he considered to be a friend. For that, he was turned into the government and sentenced to 8 years in a Soviet gulag. Soviet gulags, not nice places, where they tried to get your mind right. you know, to follow the party line. But it was in the gulag that he actually found Christ and came to Christ and started being a Christian in the gulag, being kind and compassionate to others in the gulag, helping out where he could, even being considerate to guards. It was a pretty fascinating story and really inspiring in that when you think of difficult situations in the United States, and we have our share of difficult situations just in daily life, but it doesn't compare to a Soviet gulag. And if someone can live with joy and hope in that situation, well, that gives me a lot of confidence.
Absolutely. And the adversities that we have, particularly the ones we have now, you have a choice, I think. You have a choice as to how you view it. If you view it as we are victims and everything is bad and that's that, then that's one way to look at it. Another way is to realize that God is at work in this world, even in this adversity. You know, in Genesis 50, one of the Bethel series concepts is God can use evil for good. So I'm not saying that God brought this pandemic upon us, but what I am saying is that God will use this. He'll use this in ways we can't imagine, in ways that will bring about his kingdom closer, in ways that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so we have to endure this adversity and go through this affliction, knowing that God will bring us out. If our focus is toward God, we will come out better for it in the end.
Absolutely. And when you're in the midst of a situation, regardless what it is, I think it's real easy to lose focus and start relying once again on yourself, on your own judgment. It's just human nature. It's going to happen. But I think it's supremely important to just take a deep breath, relax, be prayerful, and open to God's word and open to God's direction in your life. In fact, I think maybe that's a mistake that individual Christians make, as well as Christian churches, no matter how well-meaning. I think sometimes we have different goals with various churches. What do we want to do? What do we want to do to help serve God, right? And it's going to be various things. Well, we want to have a food pantry to help service the poor. We want to take care of the homeless. We want to do outreach to various communities, all very worthwhile. But what should the goal of the Christian church be? What should it be?
Yeah, and the goal is laid out a couple of places in Scripture very clearly by Jesus, and that is we have, of course, the Great Commandment, which is actually two parts, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we have this first of this Great Commandment is we're supposed to be focused on God. In this adversity, the good thing that could come out of all that's happening now is it, I pray, will focus more of us towards God instead of toward the world. Because the world doesn't provide anything. The world takes away, but God provides. And so if it turns us toward God, then it will have done something important and good for us.
Absolutely. Because no matter how well-meaning human beings are, we are human beings. And I think it's really, really important what you said first. What's the first thing? This is the way I look at Christianity. The first thing that he wants to know us. He wants us to love him. He wants a relationship with us. We get to know Jesus Christ first. If we don't truly know the Savior, who he is, what he wants for us, the direction that he wants in our lives, because it may be completely different than what we think he wants us to do, because we're going into this blind, oh, well, the Lord wants us to take care of the poor. Maybe he does. But you have to be open to him guiding you. And without that guidance, we're going to fail.
Absolutely. Which allows us to pivot to the second part of the scripture, which goes, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or you turn to the left. You see, as we go through life, we're trying to do good things, right? That's what you were just talking about. Right. The church very often is trying to do worthwhile things. But what it needs to do first, what the church needs to do, and as it relates to you and it relates to me, we need to first ask God what we should do. In other words, we don't need to invent this idea of what we should do out of whole cloth. We should be listening. What should we do? What would God have us do? That's exactly what this thing is. It's saying, if you'll listen to the teacher will tell you behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is what we need to do. This is the difference. See, we're designing things. We do this all throughout our lives. We design things that we think are good, that we think are helpful, that we think actually are God-honoring. But what we don't do so often is actually listen for God's word. And the way you listen for it is you pray and you meditate and you let God tell you, and God will tell you. The interesting thing is, God will tell you if you just listen. But we're not much interested in listening because we're people of action, right?
That is right. And we're going 100 miles an hour, aren't we?
Yeah, 100 miles an hour may be an understatement. And we're doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, instead of calming our spirit and listening for what we should do, what God tells us we should do. And we should do that. But that's very hard to do, isn't it?
It is. It is. I would agree. It is hard to do. Have you ever taken a Sandler sales system? I know. You're saying, what? Sandler sales?
Where'd that come from?
I know, right? Well, it popped into my mind. They have a saying. Slow down to speed up.
Oh, I like it.
So you have to get the direction. You have to know, you have to understand where you're going. But in order to really understand the direction you need to go, to really understand what God wants you to do, you need to slow down. You need to spend time in prayer and reading God's word and really, truly understanding. Then you will get a much better idea of what he wants you to do. And once you're on that path, then things can move quickly. But to do it under our own power is going to be difficult and will most likely ultimately be for naught.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a great story, I love it, in scripture, where Joshua was coming into the promised land and they were destroying peoples and villages and taking over the promised land. And these people called the Gibeonites, dressed in tattered clothes, and came and said that they came from a far distance and they wanted to pay homage to Joshua and the Israelites, and they came from a long way. And so the Israelites said, okay, we won't hurt you. And they made a treaty with them. And in fact, they were from close by. And at the end, what happened is that they didn't ask God what they should do. They didn't hesitate in their decision. Instead, they made their own decision. And later on, of course, it was the wrong decision, they found out, but it's because they didn't ask God. And that's what I think we all need to do, starting with me, actually, is that I'm a person of action. I want to do things. I want to get things done.
Yes.
I'm, you know, that's who I am. And how much better I am when I just slow down just a little bit and listen as to what we should do. And that's what I think this is saying, that this teacher is behind us. Now, the teacher's behind us. He doesn't like grab us by the ears and say, listen to this. It's a small, still voice, but it's there if we'll just listen. So the key to this, I think, that in this scripture they're telling us, is that we will be told which way to walk. This is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or you turn to the left. But we don't get it if we're so busy making our own decisions and so unwilling to just stop and take a breath and think about, what would God have me do in this?
Right. And I think that is really the most important thing that you can do. And as I know, one of the things on my walk with Christ, one of the things that is becoming more and more obvious to me daily is just how important prayer is. I know that sounds... I understand how that sounds. Well, right. Pat, that's obvious, right? But it's sort of like reading scripture. You've read the same scripture 50 times, and then all of a sudden on the 51st, you read it, and you say to yourself, that wasn't there before. Where did that come from? It's like you realize, you see something new. You realize something new. Yes, it's important to pray, but prior to that, it was always kind of like a surface thing. Where now I'm getting to realize how really, truly important that is every day, all day, throughout the day. Ask God for direction, be in prayer, and ask him to guide your life.
Absolutely. And I have an example of that happened just yesterday, actually. And that is, I got an email from somebody asking me to do something. That was a worthwhile something, but I've been busy deluxe. And I was just going to send it back and say, I'm terribly sorry, I really don't have time to do this. But instead of doing that, I thought, you know what? I think I'll pray about it and I'll think about it overnight and see if I feel differently tomorrow. I don't have to answer this person today. I'll answer him tomorrow. So in any event, I thought about it. My thoughts early on were, you know, I can't do this. I got to be able to say no. You know, I got plenty to do, all of these kinds of things. And when I woke up this morning and I prayed this morning, I thought, you know what? My answer ought to be yes. I ought to help this person. Why wouldn't I? And so later on this morning, I told him yes. And it made me feel great. But I was listening because I didn't understand whether I should or shouldn't do it. When I first got it, my first reaction was, no, I'm much too busy. But then I realized, you know, I can do this. And it might even be something good and important. But by hesitating, I came up with what I believe is the right answer. The first answer was not the right answer. The quick answer was not the right answer. But giving it a minute, giving it a little prayer, calming my spirit towards it, and then finding the good answer, finding what I should do, and finding this word that is, you know, this is the way, walk in it. This is what I heard.
Right. That's good stuff. And it's inspiring to me because I'm very similar where I'm get it done, snap decisions, yes, no, you know, out the door, get it off my desk sort of thing. So I completely understand what you are saying. So I'm inspired by you, Jeff. Thank you.
I think you need to look for your inspiration elsewhere.
Brutal honesty. That's what you get here too.
Well, it's true. This idea of, you know, listening for God, that's a hard thing. You know, we say it, oh, yes, you should pray about this and so forth. And I know I've done it where I've told people I'll pray about it. I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to pray about. You know, we don't take it seriously. But I think that if we just, it has to do with calming our spirit, just calming ourselves just a little bit and saying, you know, I'm going to take a minute, take a breath and think about this. Think what God would have me do. What is the right thing to do in God's eyes? And then do that. But what it means is you can't make the snap decisions like you were talking about. And I guarantee you and I have been rewarded for making quick decisions in business, right?
Absolutely.
Right. We're decisive. That would be something that you would want to be, right? You want to emulate people who are decisive. They can make decisions. But this is different. When we're talking about the things we should do for God, I think we need to take this breath. We need to not be the ones who decides. We need to let God decide what we should do, and then we should do it.
Absolutely. And it goes back to what we've discussed previously, that we're praying on our time, but God answers in his time. And a day like a thousand years like a day. And I think as we do this more, as you pray more, I don't know how else to say it except you get better at it. You get more in tune to it. You understand maybe how God is answering you, and he's going to answer you in a variety of ways. Sometimes you just know. Sometimes you just understand. It might be through scripture. It might be through something you hear. It might be a word from a friend or a spouse. But the more you do it, I think the more you will see this working in your life. And then ultimately you start seeing God everywhere. Which is a great thing.
That is a great thing. And it's true. It's true. This, I love the way you said that, because it's really practice makes perfect, right?
Right.
So the first time you do it, I remember the first time that I was praying in the morning, and the first journal that I wrote, a prayer journal that I have that I continue to today, and I couldn't think of what to say. So I wrote down, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, or something, because I couldn't think of what to say because I didn't have any practice at it.
Sure.
After a time, you get exactly that. You become good at it because you're in tune. But it's not going to happen the first time. And so this idea that the teacher's behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, seems preposterous until you've relied on that.
Right.
And that's the way I would think of all of this. As we're looking at, certainly the world is filled with adversity and it's filled with affliction. We know that to be true. This time and all times are filled with adversity and affliction, but we are not alone. Thank the Lord, we are not alone. We're not alone because behind us is the teacher saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or to the left, will you join me in prayer? Lord, you guide us if we will only slow our spirit down, if we will only open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds, you will guide us. You will show us which way to go. When we go to the right or to the left, you will show us. You are there to help us. And certainly the world is filled with adversity. It's filled with affliction. That is just the way of the world, the way of this fallen world. But with you, we'll know how we should go. We know the direction we should go, and we know the things we should do if we just listen. Lord, will you help us to listen? In Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name, amen.
Amen. Don't forget what C.S. Lewis said.
C.S. Lewis said that Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And this guides us. Either this Christianity is true and is the most important thing in your life, or it's of no importance at all. The one thing it can't be is moderately important. And that's what both Pat and I would hope to leave you with, is that we hope that we're helping to guide you into a place where you realize that this Christianity, A, is true, and our lives need to be set upon it.